We're in 1 Samuel, and we've seen in our study in 1 Samuel early on that the people of Israel grew to a point where they no longer wanted to depend on the Lord and demanded a king. In chapter 8, they were greatly afraid of the Philistines. And looked at Samuel, their leader, God's mouthpiece, the prophet, and concluded that he was getting up in years and that his sons did not have the same heart for God like he did, and became quite afraid of what was going to happen to them, so they demanded a king. God told Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7, to go ahead and give them their king. And he concluded, "For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." Well, in chapter 10, Samuel went ahead and anointed Saul as Israel's first king. And God, through the prophet Samuel, made some really encouraging promises to Saul. He communicated in verse 7 that God is with you to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10. In 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 9, it said that God changed Saul's heart. And in verse 10 of chapter 10, it said the Spirit of God came mightily upon Saul. Saul had a good beginning. But he stopped listening to God. Progressively, Saul listened less and less, to a point that when we came to chapter 14 and Saul was in trouble, he called out to God, and the text tells us in verse 37 that he did not answer. Which brings us today to a similar predicament in chapter 28. In chapter 28, once again, the Philistines are threatening Israel. Saul is terrified. He's going to cry out to God for help. But in reality, Saul has not listened to God for a long time. And once again, God is not going to answer. And even though Saul has had clear communication from the Lord, he knows exactly what God's will is. Saul is going to try to find someone or something to make it all better. He's going to try to find someone to say, "Saul, it's all going to be okay." He turns to guidance apart from God. Which brings us to chapter 28. We want to read the chapter in its entirety. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 1 through 25. It's one of the more enigmatic chapters in your Old Testament. It's left people scratching their head, but there is a message there for us today from what Saul learns about turning to guidance other than God, and what we learn about God. Verse 1. "Now it came about in those days that the Philistines gathered their armed camps for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, 'Know assuredly that you will go out with me in the camp, you and your men.' And David said to Achish, 'Very well, you shall know what your servant can do.' So Achish said to David, 'Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life.' Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. So the Philistines gathered together and came and camped in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they camped in Gilboa. when Saul saw the camp and the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there's a woman who's a medium at Endor." Then Saul disguised himself by putting on other clothes and went, he and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, "Conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you." But the woman said to him, "Behold, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off those who are mediums and spiritists from the land. Why are you then having lain a snare for my life to bring about my death?" And Saul vowed to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord lives, there shall no punishment come upon you for this thing." Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid, but what do you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I see a divine being coming up out of the earth." And he said to her, "What is this form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is wrapped with a robe." So Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and did homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me and answers me no more, either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may make known to me what I should do." And Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? And the Lord has done according as he spoke through me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David. As you did not obey the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, so the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also give over Israel along with you into the hands of the Philistines. Therefore, tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. Indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines." Then Saul immediately fell full length upon the ground and was very afraid because of the words of Samuel. Also, there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day and all night. And the woman came to Saul and saw that he was terrified and said to him, "Behold, your maidservant has obeyed you. And I've taken my life in my hand and have listened to your words which you spoke to me. So now also please listen to the voice of your maidservant and let me set a piece of bread before you that you may eat and have strength when you go on your way." But he refused and said, "I will not eat." However, his servants together with the woman urged him and he listened to them. So he arose from the ground and sat on the bed. And the woman had a fattened calf in the house, and she quickly slaughtered it, and she took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread from it. And she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then he arose and went away that night. Well, chapter 28 is all about guidance. Saul is going to seek guidance other than God's. And yet, we're going to see that as he seeks guidance apart from God, God's will doesn't change. What God says he will do, he always does. It's kind of like the old country song, "Looking for love in all the wrong places." Here, Saul is looking for answers in all the wrong places. And we're going to see this morning that just as Saul wanted to feel good in a situation where he had stopped listening to God, so he seeks answers from places other than God. So also, there are times when you and I don't listen to God as well. And we think we can find answers in other places. and we turn a deaf ear. Many times God has given us an answer. We didn't want to hear it. And we try to find purpose and happiness in all the wrong places. What's true for Saul is true for us. Even though we don't listen to God, what God says, God is going to do. 1 Samuel 28. Now, in the first six verses of this chapter, we see a very simple principle. When people don't listen to God, God stops listening to their prayers. Simple. And we see Saul is going to progressively listen to God less and less until he stops listening altogether. He only views God as a good luck charm. When things really get bad, then he cries out to God and then is surprised that God doesn't answer. Now, as the chapter opens in verses 1 and 2, we have tension. We can all identify with tension. Well, there's tension in verses 1 and 2. Remember last week in chapter 27, David had taken up residence amongst the Philistines. He was tired of Saul's relentless pursuit of him and thought, if I go into the land of the Philistines, Saul will give up looking for me. And that's exactly what he did, and that's what Saul did. But now he's in a mess because Achish, one of the Philistine kings, is preparing to go back to battle against Israel and tells David, I want you to be with me in battle. So what will David do? Will he go and fight against his own people, actually kill fellow Israelites? Or will he end up having to show his hand to the Philistines, revealing that he's never really been one of them this whole a year and 4 months that he's lived with them? That tension doesn't get resolved till chapter 29. So come back next week. In verse 3, we're given some history again. We've already known this, but it reminds us that Samuel is dead, God's mouthpiece, the prophet. And we're also told in verse 3 that Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. A medium was a person who claimed the ability to communicate with the dead. A spiritist was a person who claimed the ability to communicate with the spirit world. So the scene is being set. Saul has issued an edict to have the mediums and the spiritists removed. And then verses 4 and 5 tell us that the Philistines, Israel's enemies, are once again gathered to do battle against Israel. And Saul is scared. Look with me at verse 5. When Saul saw that the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. So we come to verse 7. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. Would have been the way that God communicated with Israel often in the Old Testament, either through a dream, or you remember that the high priest upon his breastplate would have had these pockets sewed in for the Urim and the Thummim, most likely those stones that were cast like lots to make a decision, and depending how the stones fell, it was either a yes or a no. Or by prophets, God's mouthpiece, God's representative on earth, saying, this is what the Lord says. Saul had called out for God's help, and it tells us in verse 6 that the Lord did not answer in any of the means that he often would. You see, Saul stopped listening to God a long time ago, so God does not listen to Saul's prayer. If your home is anything like mine, we have a lot of music in our house. I have three sons, and all of the boys have iPods. Now, their iPods are a little bit different, but the main difference is the hearing devices that the boys use. I have one son that uses the earbuds. I have one son that has some headphones he bought at Target. And then I have another son that has the Dr. Dre's, the Beats. Now, the son with the earbuds tries to carry on a conversation with mom and dad while he's listening to his music. Very irritating to dad, but he thinks he can pull it off. Going on and, you know, having a conversation and mostly listening to what I say. The son with the headphones from Target can be downstairs and dad can be upstairs saying, "Hey, have you guys taken care of the dog?" Not a word. And Barbara will say, "He's probably got his headphones on." And sure enough, I'll go down, get his attention, and we'll talk. The son with the Dr. Dre's can totally tune me out. They are known to knock out all outside sound. You know, Saul did not stop listening to God all at once. In a sense, he started out with his earbuds in. He is listening to God most of the time. He's tooling along. And once in a while, he thinks, "I'd rather go this way than what God has said." And as soon as he starts doing that, it's as if he takes out his earbuds and he puts on his headphones that he got at Target. And when he's doing that, Saul is kind of like, "I know God said this, but..." You can fill in the blank. "I know God said this, but I want to be happy. I know God said this, but this material is thousands of years old. Does it really apply to me?" And as soon as people start doing that, on come the Dr. Dre's. "Don't listen to God anymore at all. I don't care what God said." And that progression is seen in Saul's life, and it's seen in the lives of believers today. Here we find that Saul has had on his Dr. Dre's for a long time. He hasn't listened to God for a long time, so much so that it said the Lord did not answer him. Now, lest we think this is just a phenomenon for Saul, keep your finger in 1 Samuel 28 and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3 with me. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7 has a very haunting verse for men who are married. It's a tough enough verse as it stands, and then you get to the last clause and it's really gets your attention. It says this, 1 Peter 3:7, "You husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she's a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Really think about that. It's saying that if I don't follow God's clearly revealed will as it pertains to my relationship with my wife, if I don't love Barbara as Christ loved the church, if I don't honor her as a sister in the Lord, one who also has received grace just like I have received grace, one for whom Jesus Christ died, if I don't lift her up and honor her, it says here that I'm in danger of my prayers being hindered. You see, when we turn a deaf ear, when we go from our earbuds to our headphones to our Dr. Dre's and stop listening to God, it tells us in the New Testament as well that God stops listening to us. And that's where Saul is here in chapter 28. And then it happens to Saul what often happens to us. He hits some hard times. He hits a tunnel in life. And it's interesting that we see in chapter 28, what we often see in our lives is that when things get tough, what's really on the inside of people shows. You see, where people turn in times of trouble often shows their hearts. And here, Saul, instead of bowing on his face before the Lord in repentance for not listening to God for so long, he just wants to feel good. He wants someone or something to tell him that it's going to all be okay. And so we find in verses 7 through 14, Saul is going to turn to someone other than God for guidance in his life. Notice with me verse 7. Then Saul said to his servants, "Seek for me a woman who is a medium." Now don't forget verse 3. Verse 3 had just told us that Saul had issued an edict to have all the mediums and spiritists removed from Israel. And yet, even though Saul said that an Israelite should not go to a medium or a spiritist, his actions don't match his words. God's word is clear. If you go back to the Old Testament law, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, makes it very clear that an Israelite should not consult a medium or a spiritist. That's communicating with those who are connected to evil. Was there really a person who could have communication with someone who has died? I personally don't think so, and I think that's shown to us here in the text. But is there a person who has a connection to the demon world? Certainly. And Israel was to have nothing to do with those who have communication with demons. Saul, in his words, agreed. In his actions, he just wants to feel good. He just wants someone or something to tell him that what he's doing is okay. And so he turns to a medium. Verse 8 tells us he dresses up in clothes so he wouldn't be recognized. And he approaches this woman at this place called Endor. And he asks in verse 8 for her to conjure up for me the person I tell you. She, in verse 9, reminds Saul that, hey, the king has issued this edict saying that there cannot be any spiritists or mediums. You're asking me to put my life on the line. Saul still does not reveal himself to her, but makes a vow in verse 10 that nothing bad is going to happen to her. And so she says, "Who do you want me to contact?" And he says in verse 11, "Bring up Samuel for me." Verse 12 is quite telling. Notice in verse 12 it says, "When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice." She shrieks. I think the reason why she shrieks is this hasn't happened before. I think she has claimed to be able to talk with those who have passed away. Most likely is communicating with demons. Here, she calls up Samuel and she gets Samuel. Most likely, God has just intervened in this situation. And it scares her to death. The woman shrieks and immediately knows she's been conned by Saul. And says in verse 12, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." And Saul says, "Don't be afraid, but tell me what you see." Which also tells us that Saul does not see Samuel. Whatever form this woman has seen, whether it's in a vision that God has provided, Saul can't see it. And he asks the woman to describe what she sees, and she tells him an old man is coming up. He's wrapped with a robe, and it tells us in verse 14 that Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bows down to the ground. You see, Saul turns to a direction away from God when things got tough. He demonstrates his heart here. He demonstrates the fact that he stopped listening to God a long time ago. And now when he's in trouble, he wants to find someone or something to let him know that it's all going to be okay. You know, Saul would have claimed to have a biblical worldview. In verse 3, he could say, hey, I know that Leviticus 20 says no spiritists or mediums. So I'm issuing an edict. No spiritists or mediums. Just like today, you and I can claim to have a biblical worldview. I believe that God has directed me in my life that I have to depend on God in all circumstances. In actuality, our worldview is not what we espouse. It's not what we verbalize. It's what we do. If you want to know a person's real worldview, don't ask them to verbalize it. Watch how they live out their life. Here, Saul has a verbal worldview that's in agreement with God's word. His real worldview demonstrates that he has stopped listening to God a long time ago, and he has a view of the world in which he wants to make himself happy by finding someone or something to let him know that it's all going to be okay. How often do we do the same thing? As I mentioned, you know, the scriptures are clear. We need to be depending on the Lord day in and day out. When we hit tough times, the scriptures are clear. The New Testament tells us we're not supposed to be anxious about it. We're supposed to, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God and then experience His peace. Peter tells us we're supposed to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt us at the proper time, casting all our anxiety upon Him because He cares for us. And we can verbalize that, but our real world view is fleshed out when we hit times of trouble, and then we act out what we really do. Do I go to the Lord and express my dependence on Him when I hit tough times, or do I resort to the television or to food or to a hobby or, as some men do, to pornography or a book that's going to tell me that everything that I'm doing in my life is okay? See, what Saul does here is he has put on his Dr. Dre's. He stopped listening to God, even though God had clearly told him His will. And now he's just trying to feel good. Well, that's the tendency of the sinful heart. And in fact, in verses 15 through 25, we see that the tendency of the sinful heart is to find guidance that's going to give us assurance even when God's already spoken. Notice with me in verse 15, Samuel says to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me?" And Saul responds, "I'm greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me and answers me no more, either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may make known to me what I should do." And Samuel responds in verse 16, "Why then do you ask me? Since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary, and the Lord has done accordingly as He spoke through me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David. As you did not obey the Lord," and literally in the Hebrew text, in fact, your Bible may have the literal translation of the Hebrew words in the column. It's literally, "as you stopped listening to the voice of God." You see, Samuel tells Saul, "Man, you put your Dr. Dre's on a long time ago. You stopped listening to God. God clearly revealed to you that the kingdom was going to be removed from you because of your disobedience. And instead of repenting, instead of confessing your sin, you just turned a deaf ear and just kept doing what you wanted to do. You see, Saul started out good over here. He had the Spirit of God resting on his life. God had told him, I'll be with you. God changed his heart. And he started walking with the Lord, but then he put in his earbuds. And God would say this, and Saul would just want to tweak it a little bit. You know you told me to kill that entire people and everything was there, but I thought I should keep the best of the calves to offer to you. And instead of confessing his sin, just like when you and I find ourselves starting the tweak with God, I know God says this, but I want to do it a little bit this way. That's the time we need to confess our sin. And if we don't confess our sin, we just become a little bit more hardened in our hearing. And it's as if we put on our headphones, and then it's like, well, I know God says this, but... And if we don't stop there and confess our sin, we get to a point where we have on our Dr. Dre Beat headphones and we're not listening to God anymore at all. And literally, we're saying to God, I don't care what you say. And then we find ourselves in a mess. And out of desperation, almost like rubbing a lucky charm, people will call out to God and then wonder why God doesn't answer. Saul wonders. Samuel tells him, Saul, God always does what he says he will do. Isn't it interesting when we see in this chapter that even though Saul stops listening to God, God still does what he says he will do. It's as if Saul is like a little child that thinks, if I close my eyes so I can't see the people can't see me. And Saul, well, if I just turn my ears deaf to God, then it's as if, you know, he can't even see what I'm doing. God still carries out his plan. And Samuel tells Saul in verse 19, therefore tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Saul can't handle it. He's flat on his face out of fear. And even though he's not willing to listen to God, he ends up listening to this spiritist, this medium, this person who can claim they have communication with the dead. She says, man, you got to eat something. So he has his last supper and leaves. Well, what's the principle for you and me? What do we need to pick up from 1 Samuel chapter 28? First, the principle that we've seen all the way through the book is that God always does what he says he will do. And second, we need to listen. As a Christian, I'm on very dangerous ground when I start to partially obey God. Because when I start to partially obey and then don't confess my sin, I start to progressively listen less. We saw in 1 Peter 3, I can get to a point where God doesn't listen to me. And then we find ourselves in trouble. Just like Saul. Here, Saul has stopped listening for so long. His tendency is just to find somebody to tell him that he's okay. It's as if Saul went into a bookstore to find some kind of a book that says, hey, this is, you're going to be satisfied in life. Even though Samuel has told him, Saul, God's already told you his will. You need to listen. Even though those who reject God's word try to calm their minds by seeking guidance from sources other than God, God's revealed will does not change. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this chapter. I thank you for the lessons we see here from the life of Saul. We pray that as we go through this week ahead, that you will, by your grace, help us to be aware when we start turning a deaf ear to you. To be aware if we are saying, well, I know God says this, but, and that we would confess our sin and start walking with you again. Help us to have ears that hear this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.